Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Joining us for the second half of this hour, Anthony Bowden, Director of Business Development at Greater New Orleans, Inc., and Representative Jerome Zarang of the Louisiana State Legislature joins us. We'll be talking about wind power, and Michael Heck and I have talked a lot about this relative to it being an incredible opportunity for our state, because a lot of the infrastructure that we have in order to foster the fossil fuel industry, is that some of that same infrastructure can be used for this industry as well. So, Anthony, welcome, and Jerome and Representative Zarang, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell. Thanks for having us.
So, Anthony, why don't we start with you if you want to kind of set the stage for this discussion.
Sure, absolutely. Offshore wind is an exciting opportunity for Louisiana for two reasons. There are two staggered opportunities that we're pursuing. One is, of course, the deployment of offshore wind, which I'll let Representative Zarang speak a little bit more about, but the opportunity of actually seeing wind farms in the Gulf producing electricity for a variety of end users. We have the right geography for it. We have mild but useful winds for it. So there's a real opportunity there. But another opportunity, which is close to our mission, is tied to the job creation angle. And here we're thinking about not just the installation and operation of offshore wind farms in the Gulf, which is important and lucrative, but we're also thinking about the opportunities in manufacturing of these new components. Think about the massive blades that are longer than a football field, the turbines that are five stories tall, these massive components that the Northeast is looking to acquire right now. And what's interesting is that there currently is no supply chain in the United States for offshore wind. All these projects are coming in from, all these components are coming in from Europe, but that's not feasible for the long term. So we believe that Louisiana and South Louisiana, with our port infrastructure and our expertise in manufacturing, we have a real shot of bringing these investments to Louisiana and then shipping these components, whether it's to the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, or eventually the Gulf of Mexico. It's quite exciting to see, and it's been just dramatic to see the speed at which this industry is taking off. We now have goals for 30 gigawatts of power in the United States by 2030. But right now we're at 18 megawatts. So you can imagine the scale of which we have to grow this industry.
It's interesting, and I'm excited, Anthony, to hear that you guys are thinking of this industry more holistically, right, and not just in one or two silos, but really across all of the revenue center opportunities here, because obviously you don't get many chances to involve oneself in an industry or early onset like we are here. So when you said that there's no supply chain in the United States, the first thing that comes to my mind is opportunity with a capital O.
I couldn't say better. I mean, the opportunity is for companies that have the expertise in working on big infrastructure projects on water that have traditionally worked in oil and gas sector. This is a real opportunity. And a lot of the companies that we can see all across our coastal waters have seized on this opportunity and understand that there's something to be done here. So I'll give you two examples. Edison Schwest, a legacy company in the oil and gas industry, is actually the first company to have gotten a contract with Ørsted, one of the large offshore wind developers, to build what is called an SOV, a vessel that services the offshore wind farm. We've got Otto Candies, who is also another vessel company. They're actually retrofitting. That's pretty interesting. They're retrofitting previous vessels that were used in oil and gas, specifically catered to offshore wind. And that's on the servicing side. On the manufacturing side, we have Gulf Island Fabrication, who actually has its toe already in the water with offshore wind, where they built the jacket foundations, these are the bases that you would use in building an offshore wind farm. They built the ones that represent the first project in Rhode Island. So we have Louisiana companies that are already part of this industry and are looking to expand their portfolio to oil and gas, and to offshore wind. And, you know, I should say that this is a complement to the existing business, and that's the way we see it. This could be a complement to the oil and gas expertise we have already.
Well, it's not surprising to me. Actually, I know all three of those companies very, very well. They were leaders in innovation in, you know, the fossil fuel industry, and it's that same innovation and that entrepreneurial spirit, right, that they bring forward here to wind. So I'm not surprised by it at all. And I've always said, and I think most people believe, that the fossil fuel industry will be the industry that will be able to pivot the quickest, the easiest, and the most efficiently to deal with other sources of energy. And although some people don't believe that, but I've always believed that, because they're entrepreneurs and innovators at heart. It just so happened that they were able to excel with one source of energy, right?
Well, I mean, to your point, it's no surprise that, you know, Gulf Island Fabrication is a company that emerged from the brains of Mr. Laborde, who invented the first floating offshore wind platform in oil and gas.
Yeah.
That, you know, spurred the oil and gas revolution in the Gulf. So I agree with you. There's this Cajun ingenuity that will see the next wave of this energy transition take shape in Louisiana.
Yeah. My dad being Cajun, but I totally miss the ingenuity. I don't know what happened there. Representative Zarang, there is a role for government in this, right? I mean, we talked about this opportunity with a capital O when you're early stage. Even more so, you know, it really highlights how will government view the industry, how will they deal with the industry, how they will regulate the industry, and how they will help the industry. Now, you have a seminal bill that you've introduced in the House, and I think it's scheduled for a vote in the Senate. Tell us what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure. No, and it's HB 165, and it's going to allow for the state to begin the process for lease sales for offshore wind, primarily in state waters, but also in state lands as well. So it's correcting language that previously existing and primarily updating it to allow the state to begin resales for wind farms in Louisiana. And, you know, Anthony was mentioning it. One of the things in our discussions in both establishing this legislation, but also working in establishing the first, we hope to have the first wind farm in the Gulf of Mexico and the first lease sale, hopefully by this time next year or soon within the next 2 years. And the thing in our discussions with BOEM and the Department of Energy, and the thing we have most going for us is what y'all were just referring to earlier, is the infrastructure that currently exists. again, Anthony mentioned Gulf Island Fabrication, but there's seven wind turbines in the territorial waters of the United States, and five of those, as y'all previously mentioned, were manufactured by Gulf Island Fabrication, you know, within our parish in Terrebonne. So we have the technology, we have the infrastructure, and unlike the East Coast and other areas who have to gear up to be prepared for this, we will be, we have the infrastructure ready to take advantage of this opportunity. And the legislation is intended to allow the state to move forward in developing this technology and establishing the first wind farm in the Gulf of Mexico.
Representative Zarang, are there any unique challenges with a wind farm lease as opposed to oil and gas leases?
Well, the framework and part of the legislation that we have is based essentially on the same language, and the mechanism and the process will be similar to the oil and gas lease sales that we have. The uniqueness is probably like the same thing they experienced in the first oil and gas leases, is that it's new in so much as in regard to how the infrastructure and business aspect will be developed, and making sure that we maximize the state's opportunity. You know, we want to make sure that we want to this technology to flourish and these opportunities to build up, but we also have to make sure we're doing due diligence in terms of leasing and the royalties associated with it, but also mindful of the fact that we want to encourage and develop this business. And also the end user, primarily all the citizens of Louisiana, if we're generating this, it will either be companies along shore or citizens that along the grid that will be utilizing this. Another part of the technology, it could be used for offshore oil and gas. They can incorporate windmills to power those facilities as well. So there's a lot of things that we can take advantage of and utilize, and we're going to build it as we go. And y'all mentioned, you know, oil and gas. If you look at the North Sea, the reason the North Sea was supposed to develop in oil and gas, as you mentioned it, they had a bunch of Cajuns who went up there and told them, you know, and explained to them how to get it done. And similarly, we have both the infrastructure and experience to be able to do that. But we're going to work through the process, but I'm confident we'll get it done.
Is there conflict now over the development of how royalties would be paid for by these leases?
Well, there is, in so much as, I mean, there's some confusion and misinformation. Again, primarily there's the perception by some that it's going to compete with oil and gas, or ultimately it's intended to phase out and just do away with oil and gas, which is not. It's just this an opportunity. There's no way that wind energy is going to supplant oil and gas, and we're going to need oil and gas for a long, many decades. And so this is just another opportunity. Part of the problem with the royalty aspect is when you extract gas or cubic feet of gas or oil or a barrel of oil, it can then be transported and sent throughout the world. With energy, you're capturing wind, so it's different. And then just factoring in what that royalty will be in the assessment is not the same as the royalties we associate with oil and gas. So we're working through that, and we want to make sure that we don't want to disincentivize businesses, but we also need to make sure that we're representing the state's interest in what those royalties will be. And similar to what they were in oil and gas initially, they were relatively low. I think it was, you know, 2 cents or whatever. I was looking at going back in the early 30s and 40s when these leases were established and the royalties, and they've increased. And similarly, I think it's going to price itself within the market and making sure that it's both advantageous to the state and also the people who want to come and develop these farms.
Is there a challenge to try and characterize this more as a complementary industry as opposed to a competitive industry?
Exactly. No, that's what it is. It's going to allow for the businesses that the service companies, primarily in those who service oil and gas and those who manufacture the structures and substructures and pipeline companies, because again, you know, it's the structure itself that's similar to oil and gas rig, you know, although it's going to be a turbine on top of that, but there's also going to have to be pipelines to bring the energy onshore to substations and then onto the grid. So it's essentially the same, and it's just an opportunity in a way to enhance and provide a additional service service and work opportunities for the people who both we've demonstrated we've had the technology capability and expertise to just do this in addition to working with oil and gas as well. And it's not going to supplant anything. It's just enhancing and providing additional opportunities.
Absolutely. Got to get to a break. We'll continue this conversation when we return. We're visiting with Anthony Bodden, Director of Business Development at Greater New Orleans, Inc., and Representative Jerome Zarang from the Louisiana State House of Representatives, talking about offshore wind. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We're back, folks. We're visiting with Anthony Bodden, Director of Business Development at Greater New Orleans, Inc., and Representative Jerome Zarang. Jerome, let me ask this question. Do you feel like you're getting what's necessary? I know GNO Inc. has been working with you guys to make sure that, as you know, we're just getting into the infancy of this industry, that there's good collaboration and communication between the business sectors and the legislature and crafting the laws necessary for this to succeed. You know, you don't want to take any missteps, right, early onset.
Well, exactly, Newell, and we're trying to make sure that we check all the boxes and we're prudent in how we address this. But the interest that we've been getting from folks outside of Louisiana and others who are wanting to come and do business here, but also the opportunities here, have been important in working with GNO Inc. and the Department of Natural Resources. Dr. Harris and his staff have been working with us to ensure that from the state's regulatory perspective, we have everything in place in anticipation of getting this done for royalty lease sales and making sure that we have what we need to allow and attract business to come here and do that. We're also working with the federal government, although the federal process primarily kicks in federal waters. Ultimately, there is going to be federal lease sales that are going to come through state waters. So it's important that we work with the federal government. In addition, as we develop this, also with industry and others as GNO Inc. and we're working with Entergy and others who've expressed interest, CLECO and other energy companies, because ultimately you're going to either have to tap into the grid or provide it to a specific sole source, such as the LNG or other things who have expressed interest. So we're working with and talking to as many people as possible to ensure that we cover as many bases. And again, this is new. There may be some challenges, but I think we're trying to work through them methodically and making sure that we get this thing started right.
Now, Anthony, you guys have reached out to a company, RWE, to help Louisiana companies learn more about offshore wind. Tell us about that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, let me just commend Representative Zarang for taking the lead on this legislation. And, you know, I just came back from an offshore wind conference, and certainly all the eyes are on the Gulf of Mexico, because they realize what the opportunity could be, and they realize that there's bipartisan support for this industry because of the potential for job creation. So RWE, the second largest offshore wind developer in the world, they're making entry into the U.S. market. They just secured a federal lease in the Northeast and are looking to expand in the Gulf of Mexico. They came to us and said, look, we know the potential in for our supply chain to source a lot of things from the Gulf of Mexico. Would you help us? And you know, it just happened that we'd established the GNO Inc. Wind Alliance 2 years ago in bringing all the companies together, whether it's offshore services company, manufacturers, or energy service company. We brought them all together at the table, and it now is the opportunity to leverage that alliance and leverage that database and to bring people together and to say, what is the opportunity to work with a premier offshore wind developer in the first instance to supply products and services for their Northeast needs, and then in the second instance, once we have state leases in state waters and in federal waters, how can these companies supply developers and their tier one manufacturers with the products and services they need? So We're just launching. It's going to be a series of interviews and workshops to familiarize companies with what the actual needs are in the offshore wind sector, and so they can make that pivot, that transition, and then complement to the existing oil and gas service line effectively and efficiently. And I think, you know, if we have this database, which will be publicly available at hand, I think we'll see a huge ramp up in securing the supply chain locally.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations to both of y'all, and thank you for the leadership role that y'all are playing, because as we are always looking to diversify the economy here in Louisiana, it's really important that when these opportunities present themselves that we don't have a lot of missteps and we try to click on all cylinders, because as y'all all well know, you have a lot of people on the outside looking in, and they're looking for successes, and success breeds success. And it sounds like we're off to a damn good start. Representative Jerome Zerang and Anthony Bodden with Greater New Orleans, Inc., thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Good. Thank you, Noel. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Noel.
All righty, guys. Have a great week. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.